last night. So please bear with us with any sort of glitches that might happen. We hope all the speakers are going to be able to project and that you can hear them. But if you have problems listening, hearing the speakers, maybe you can put your hands up or something and we can encourage them to speak a bit louder. So we're very proud to open our new space with this exhibition, the Character of the School Itinerant Drawing from Latin America, curated by Tanya Barson. She's curator of international art at Tate London. Most of the works have been named especially for the exhibition, and we've got site-specific pieces in the backspace as well. Hopefully you've all had a chance to have a look or you can do later. So what I want to do is take this opportunity to thank all of the artists, most of whom are here, for being so committed to the exhibition and for making such fantastic pieces for it. And it's been a pleasure to work with them. 8 of the artists have been here, so we've had the pleasure to meet them and work with them over the last few days, which has been fantastic. And all of the artists are participating in the conference as well. So this conference has been conceived in collaboration with TRAIN, the Research Centre for Transnational Art Identity Innovation, which is the University of the Arts London. And we'd like to thank Deborah Cherry, who we conceived the conference in collaboration with, and Sir Eleanor Pickens, who's sorting out the tickets over there. And we're delighted with the lineup of speakers that we have, which will include all of the writers of the catalogue essays. And the catalogue is in production and will be available in a few weeks. If you'd like to order one, there's a form on the back. So we're going to start the evening, which is a little bit late, hopefully we won't slip too much, with Tanya Barson's tour of the exhibition, and then we'll move on to the Steve Butterfly's lecture. So over to you.
First of all, I just wanted to check if people can hear me. So if is this loud enough for everybody in the back? Can you hear what I'm saying? Okay, good.
I guess you can stand.
The other thing, sorry, I forgot to say, yes. Can you turn off the phone, please?
So, welcome to the exhibition. Unconventional tour of the exhibition because you're all seated and there are so many of you here that it's going to be a bit impractical to walk around the exhibition. So what I'll do is I'll try and give a kind of introduction, contextual introduction to the exhibition, talk about my involvement, how it came about, some of the framing of the exhibition, the kind of curatorial framing of the exhibition and the works, and then talk about some of the work that you'll see in the exhibition as well, and hopefully if you haven't already had an opportunity to see the show, you'll be able to see, if the works aren't visible in this room, you'll be able to have a look at them some point this evening between the other presentations and at the end. So, this is an exhibition of 9 artists from Latin America, contemporary artists from Latin America, who use drawing as a central part of their practice. Now, this isn't something that is necessarily exclusively the medium that they work in, but drawing for all of these artists has a very central position. The idea of framing this kind of show around geography, around Latin America, is something that has been discussed in different contexts quite a lot. And I wanted to sort of qualify this framing of selecting artists around a kind of geographical focus. I think that this is a young generation of artists who often are showing together within Latin America, but also outside, who are emerging onto an international scene. One or two of them are much more experienced and so have a more international profile. But in general, they're emerging onto an international scene at the moment. And you might come across their work in different biennales and shows that are on currently, like Dublin Contemporary or the Lyon Biennial, or also in Venice. So these are artists who are kind of really beginning to have an international profile, but who all originate in some way from within Latin America. And I'm gonna read a quote, which is from a curator who I worked with for a number of years at the Tate, Cuauhtémoc Medina, which sort of will help to clarify how I'm thinking around this notion of geography and of Latin America. So Cuauhtémoc has said, "The South is not a region. It's a slogan of invention, deviation, and resistance. It is also the deterritorialized geography of a continuous surfacing of differences and desires that can't be subsumed." So the South exists, the South as a region, but it's one that we can't necessarily always pin down. It's full of contradictions, and I think that some of that arises out of the work. You have to think about this notion of Latin America not as a homogenous area of the world, but as full of heterogeneity, differences, and contradictions. And I think that's also encapsulated by the fact that there are artists here both from the Spanish-speaking and the Portuguese-speaking world. So there's a very significant kind of linguistic difference within the region that is worth remembering about, because it's related to a kind of different history, different framing. Having said that, there are nine artists in the show, two of whom are working collaboratively, who also have independent solo careers, but here they're showing work that they've made together. And as I said, this is somehow what I was trying to frame within the exhibition was a particular kind of generational conversation, something that is not necessarily really structured, but quite a loose conversation between artists who are showing in similar contexts, who know about each other, who possibly reference one another's work, who maybe move in the same circuits. And there is something, I think, of a particular sensibility that is complementary, although the practices themselves are quite distinct. And there are a group of artists that I've come across over the last, the last 10 years really, as I've been working at the Tate on our acquisitions and displays and exhibitions of work from artists across Latin America. It's an initiative that we began after the opening of Tate Modern, and we've really been focusing on expanding the collection into representing art from Latin America. And that's something that has been a very particular part of my role at Tate, working with successive associate curators based within the region who are much more experts in the networks and the art of the region. But over this last 10 years, it's something that has become an increasing part of the activity of Tate. So it's although I'm a curator of international art, it's something that's the context for the exhibition's genesis. So within this room, we have the majority of the artists are showing in this room, and I'm going to maybe point to a few things and talk about the particular work and the reason for the selection as well. In the far corner on my left-hand side, or right-hand side, is a piece by Brigida Bauta from Brazil. It's a work that I see very much as coming out of a kind of a botanical illustration, so an observation of the natural flora and fauna of Brazil, but referencing a kind of scientific or quasi-scientific system of illustration, but which Brigida uses and adapts by fragmenting the plants from the interior of Brazil and representing them through the use of rip dust and of earth, which is very iron-rich, hence this very red colour. So it's looking at exploring that kind of natural iconography associated with Brazil through the actual element of earth itself. And I think this is a really nice way of beginning the show, of thinking about how maybe a historical tradition of representing, scientific representation, has been used and adapted by contemporary artists and presents a different approach, maybe much more sensorial, much more material sensibility about this work. And this is from a residency that she made in the interior of Brazil in 2008, when she explored different locations, and then in between the drawings you have boxes of the earth and the dust in between. In the back room, we also have a floor piece made by Brigida, which is a site-specific floor piece, which is a revisiting of an idea based around the observation of a tiled floor that she found on her travels within that region of Brazil. So it's a replica of a floor, again, created out of the use of dust and earth. The second work along that wall is by Ishmael Randall-Weeks, which is an evocation of a studio situation, but it's one that explores themes around architecture, both the history of architecture, as it was of modernist architecture within Latin America, and the transformation of modernism to Latin America, and then its transformation there as well. There's references to Corbusier and to Buckminster Fuller, and also to Paul Virilio's Bunker Archaeology. So different kinds of referencing of the history of negotiation of modernism, but also juxtaposed with vernacular architecture, and references to the street scene is one in Cusco, and how the vernacular architecture adopts elements of the modernist tradition, but then transforms them and uses elements of local styles and forms of architectural manifestation as well. Obviously, Cusco was the center of the Incan Empire, so you have another history of architectural construction in that region. The next work along the wall is by Raymond Chavez and Gilles Mantilla, working together. They are two artists who I was thinking about when first devising the exhibition. They made a very ambitious series of drawings, which is divided into chapters, called Dibujando America, Drawing America. And they were, through this epic body of work, trying to kind of find a way of representing a continent through their travels, through their observations, making notebooks and sketches along the way. That body of work was closed, and they have now, in the last year or so, embarked on a new body of collaborative work, which is based around successive visits to the Amazonian Library in Iquitos, in the Peruvian Amazon. And what they've been doing is looking through the library's collections and archives and finding drawings, maps, diagrams to do with the Amazon, copying those drawings and then making drawings from those copies, from those scans and copies, and adapting the drawings, modifying them. So there's a process here of appropriation and modification, as well as redrawing in this work. There's an accompanying slide piece in the second room, which is also to do with, again, this process of going through this collection and thinking about the representation of the Amazon, the representation of different aspects of cultural negotiation of the natural world in that part of Peru. And oftentimes these are not necessarily, you know, straightforward images of the jungle or the rainforest. There's a lot of kind of oblique references here, again to do with different technical representations, but there's also music as well included there. So there's a whole range of representations of the landscapes, negotiations of the landscapes. On this back wall, we come to a work by Jorge Macchi, Argentinian artist. This is a piece from 2007 called Missing Points, and it's an adapted map. And you'll see that this, the motif of the map is referenced often by the different artists in the show, but in very different ways. Macchi has often intervened in maps, and this one is very evident how he's used a world map here, but cut out aspects of the map and recreated a grid by slicing the map. But the grid of latitude and longitude is wilting, it's unruly, it's not rational. So it's this idea of undermining the kind of the GPS exactitude of scientific rationalism, the use of maps, and replacing that with something that is I guess more surreal, more to do with chance events. So there's a, you couldn't use this map for any practical purpose. And he's often done this in another work which isn't in the show, which is called The Guide to Immobility. He takes a street atlas of Buenos Aires and cuts out all of the locations. So you can have nowhere to go in this street guide. There are no destinations, so it's a contradiction in terms. So he often does this, does a U-turn, an undermining of the purposefulness of a kind of European-based rational analysis of the external world and therefore our relationship to it. André Komatsu is another artist from Brazil, but this time, in contrast to Brigida, who's from Rio, André is from São Paulo, and I think his work really encapsulates a kind of Paulista attitude of a kind of sprawling megalopolis. So the urban environment is also included here. I wanted to make a contrast between and include a range of representations of the environment within the work that is both exploring the natural world but also the built environment. And I think that within Latin America, São Paulo is one of those extraordinary epic cities in constant flux. And I think what André's work is often about is this state of transformation, of building and destruction, but of something that's also very generative, but that is constant movement, that is the kind of condition of living within a large city. And I think there's an aspect of that about London as well, of constantly changing and transforming. And this area that we're in at the moment is going through many, many changes, and the East with the Olympics, of course, as well. So this work, situated in a much broader practice of sculptural work and also performance and video pieces, but within Komatsu's work, drawing as a very consistent position. And he often draws, in a way, these are quite straightforward drawings, because he often draws on pieces of masonry, pieces of debris. But what I like about these are the fact that they are composites of different sheets of paper, and so you get the sense of the ongoing, the drawing kind of escaping its support. And that's, I think, something that is a feature of his work quite often. On this wall, we work with Nicholas Paris, which is a piece called Curry Smooth, which is a translation. We have a very long discussion about the translation of the title of this piece, which is a work that he's been making since 2007, because it's an oxymoron, and to try and recreate the sense of oxymoron in English is a little bit tricky. The work is inspired by activity running, a kind of daily ritual, and three depth activity of chance incidents, finding objects, or having small events happen on that daily that makes that daily ritual distinct in each occasion. And then taking those objects or things that represent an occurrence, an event, an incident, and making a drawing out of that that's inspired by that particular found piece. So you see here a series of drawings paired with their object. But all the drawings based, all but one, based on this figure of the same motif of the running figure, but each time adapted. And I think that in this piece you get a real sense of the technical aesthetic of Nicholas's work as well, which is this incredible precision of craftsmanship, which I think is something that is shared by a number of the artists in the show, but it's particularly rigorous and restrained in this work, but each time in introducing an extraordinarily diverse range of solutions and of adaptations to that one particular motif. So it's about the process of invention and of maybe drawing exercises, which is another aspect of his work of using drawing as a pedagogical tool. So thinking about drawing as an activity that is a communal activity, that is about teaching and it's about exploring meaning, language, and systems of exploring the world as well. And finally, the far corner, finally in this room anyway, in the far corner is the work of Mateo Lopez, which is an evocation of the studio. The artist is the exemplary nomad. It's a travelling artist with all of his equipment and tools, with maps and with the suitcases. And Matteo's work this particular piece is inspired by two sources: a 19th century Colombian drawing of a removal scene, of a nomadic activity of moving from one house to another. And also a British reference, David Cockney's Looking at Pictures on the Screen from 1977. So there's a couple of kind of art historical starting points for this particular evocation of a travelling artist's studio. And what's incredible about this book is the amount of detail. So you explore the life of this character, of the travelling artist, through the small details of that are, from which you can construct a narrative of this character's activities and his interests and the engagement with the natural world, the sort of Colombian passport, which is growing leaves. There are maps of London. So this is an exploratory character, and I think each of the elements, sometimes they're drawn, but oftentimes they're sculpted as well. But paper is the primary medium here, and paper becomes a kind of emerges into a kind of expanded field of practice and of tautological or trompe l'oeil representation. So there's an exploration of the possibilities of paper as a medium, and of the on the one hand, the simplicity of that as a medium, but also of its extraordinary range of possibilities. Now, there is one artist that's not in this room, whose work is not in this room, but there are two videos in the central room and a wall drawing in the final room by Tony Cruz. And the videos are of a building block, the facade of a tower block and of a boat. And they're line-drawn animations. The reason I put these in the show is not that they're not also absolutely fantastic, precise, linear drawing that has a sort of in keeping with the rest of the show, but it's because they explore movement in a really interesting way, not just the urban environment and the natural world, but they use animation in a very subtle way. There's a very small amount of movement there. So it's this contradictory use of the medium, which I'm also interested in a lot of this work, of using one medium in a way that sort of subverts its purpose. So the little boat drifts gently from one side of the screen to the other. So it's about movement, but the minimal amount of movement. And then the wall drawing is about representing in an abstract way, or a semi-abstract way. There's an element of the landscape there in a kind of notional horizon line. But it's also about measurement and about looking at the analysis of the landscape in a very particular way. So the line drawing represents the distance, or an attempt to draw the distance, from London to San Juan in Puerto Rico through line. But he has managed a percentage of that distance through lines, and that's calculated and expressed in the title of the work. And in a way, it also has a kind of historical foundation in that it references a journey that began in London and ended in San Juan in 1797 when the British tried to invade Puerto Rico as part of the colonial wars with Spain and France. So this is a particular part of the ocean that Tony looks out on from his flat in San Juan in Puerto Rico, and that horizon line. And what I really liked about this work also was the fact that we're an island here, also in the UK, and that I identify very much with that sense of the constancy of the horizon, the constancy of that horizon line, and the idea of what's beyond the exploration or the speculation of what's beyond in the world. So these are some of the themes about, you know, that I think find resonance here in the UK, and I think that this is an incredible group of artists using drawing in many different and exciting ways, and I hope that is comes across through the selection of work. And I think I'm going to stop there because I'm going to run out of breath, and I don't know how.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, thank you, Tanya. Does anybody want to ask Tanya any questions about the show?
So, let me now ask for Tanya.
Yes.
I'm going to sit down.
Yes.
And stop asking. I just wondered, we've been working with Tanya for almost 2 years, it seems, from the inception, but and you came to us with this idea, but I don't think I've actually ever asked you why drawings. Is that something that's particularly interesting to you? Or, you know, I know you're working in Latin American artists and international art, but generally, but what inspired you to do this show?
Well, I think it was that I had a sense of the fact that drawing, I was coming across a lot of really amazing drawing through my own travels in across Latin America, and I thought this is work that I hadn't often seen in London, and this would be a really fantastic way of bringing a group of younger artists together, showing their work here. And I think that there is a sense of renaissance in drawing in that area of the world, particularly places like Colombia with Nicolas and Mateo, who I think that they won't mind me saying, there's an artist called José Antonio Suárez Lolona, who in Medellin, based in Medellin, who has had a particular influence on a younger generation. He's someone who's in his 50s, but is inspiring a younger generation of artists in Colombia, in particular ways to focus on drawing, and who is an extraordinary technician in his own right, but also has this aspect of this kind of daily operation of drawing, going to keep drawing on a daily basis. So I was coming across a lot of incredible drawings, but that's really why.
Could you read that man's name?
Oh, Suarez. Yes. And is he Antonio Suarez in London? Oh my God,
quite a fancy.
I would say Antonio Suarez.
London.
Like London. 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 Through what you do?
I've seen her work in different ways, in exhibitions, and then going to do studio visits, and yeah, I mean in different ways, coming across the work. There's sometimes seeing it and then going seeking out that artist, and yeah, I mean sometimes it was being invited to places like Bogota and just
South America, somewhere that you're drawn to? Is it something that's been a long time?
Yeah, it's become that, yes. Yeah. So it's a privilege to keep going back there, but yeah, I still consider myself as learning, working my way around, and there's an incredible amount of good work being made there that actually is increasingly being shown around. There is actually increasing the level of exposure in different ways, and I think some of the people that will speak later today and tomorrow will, you know, reveal how there are many different people working on bringing artists here and showing their work here or collecting their work, which is making a big difference to the London art world.
Could you share your own and perhaps the Tate's interest in Latin America? So when you think about the world, that's probably not the first historical link you think of with the UK.
It's not because we began by focusing on Latin America with our collection in order to try and expand the range of the collection. For art history, to the art history. If you're thinking in terms of history and, you know, the cultural content, then maybe yes, you can think of other parts of the world, but it wasn't about kind of documenting a colonial history of Britain and art. It was more to do with where else the links, and there have been quite consistent links between Britain and South America, and between kind of the negotiation of modernism in South America, Latin America has been incredibly interesting complex. And so it seemed to be a very interesting case for us to work through that and test the narrative of modernism being told at Tate, through an engagement with an area of the world which maybe there wasn't another reason to be there. So it was more to do with thinking through how the Tate's collection and activities had focused pretty exclusively on Western Europe and North America. And with the opening of the modern, and prior to, you know, we were thinking through just once the building was being, you know, it was evident that it was coming to fruition, and you realise what was our next big priority, and it was the collection, and how to make that collection more truly international, more truly about the kind of history of modernism and contemporary practice that we were aiming to represent, but really have this very partial engagement with.
Thank you.
in terms of Tate's history. And the opportunity that having a building devoted to the history of modern contemporary art in London was going to present the Tate. Because before the Tate Gallery had to, you know, the two aspects of the collection, historic British, historic contemporary British collection, and the modern collection, occupied the same building. And we were dividing those two aspects of the table personally. And so it was thinking through that, how are we going to make sense of the collection also in the new building? Is the collection is very variable, idiosyncratic, but all collections are, but it was about how can we increasingly expand it and think about new ways of developing it. So Latin America became the first of those cases, but we've subsequently become much more involved in Asia and Africa, also thinking in Eastern Europe, and also media-wise, photography has become a new thing of the day, and helping us to think, well, what are the limits of the collection, and what is the story we're trying to tell with this, all the different stories.
Hi. Inscribed in the title of the exhibition is the notion of portability.
Yes.
And therefore of peripheries and marginality. And since I've just come in, I know that perhaps this will really come out and be discussed fully. And I would also reflect on the links of Latin American art that drawing as a language metaphor in a continent riven with dictatorship, at least in the 1960s, 70s, and so forth. So how valuable drawing as a hidden or repressed language could be to artists. But also, of course, the economy of drawing would be very important. The question of portability is, I look around this, since I haven't seen the show, it doesn't look particularly portable to me.
Well, you know, some of the work arrived in a very portable But yeah, I think you're absolutely right in terms of one of the crucial aspects of drawing is that it is the most portable medium. It is the medium of sort of thinking through as well. So it's often the first thinking of an idea, no matter what the end realization might be. And I think also what you were saying about the politics of Latin America, drawing has been very crucial in that history. And I think of, you know, Clemente Pelim, who was drawing, making drawings of prison cells, but they're abstract drawings. And so they represent very succinctly that connection between drawing and politics and that history. I think that the work in this show, from another generation to that sort of 60s and 70s generation that was really impacted on by the history of dictatorship, is nevertheless dealing with politics, but in a more subtle way. It's not a kind of placard waving politics. It's a more subtle politics, but it's still there, and it's talking about politics in terms of freedom or borders, or, you know, that there's a more of a freedom to be less overtly political, because it's a different era within Latin America. But those themes are still, those concerns with the daily realities and the impact on you know, the environment and lived. Sorry.
Could you pick out one word in particular that illustrates that point as well?
Well, I think, okay, Gilda Raymond's work is exploring the kind of historical representation of the Amazon, and there are images there of the destruction of trees being cut down. So this might, you know, you might think through issues around ecology, or you might think through
images of Max about, you know, the idea of the freedom of movement or of borders, or you know, in Ishmael's work, the ways in which structures are built, the representation of ideology and power through the built environment, through maybe, you know, these images of bunkers which come from Paul Verhoeven, but which are also very relevant to that context and the kinds of constructions and of vernacular construction that's being made there, or the symbolism of the brutalist architecture might have in that context versus what we see as, you know, the symbolism of brutalism maybe here in London, you know, everyone flocking to buy apartments in Trident Tower and things like that. So, you know, there's a different negotiation, but it's the politics is there, but it's underlying, I think.
Okay, well, I think if we end there, it will be on time, which would be great. So thank you.